taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans. Welcome back to the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. And in order to be free, we have to recognize our rights and recognize when they're being violated, and then figure out how we're going to defend and assert them. Now, yesterday I went on quite a rant talking about the despotism and tyranny that is overtaking the United States of America, and today I got more. Sadly, it's a topic with plenty of content that I can refer to. It seems like any even pretense of freedom and liberty are being stomped out, and a lot of it starting in Washington, D.C., although the federal government isn't the only ones doing it, but they certainly seem to be doing a lot of it lately. Take, for example, this article I found dealing with former Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius. Now, you may remember her from the infamous Obamacare lawsuit and other abuses of government authority. During an interview on CNN, Ms. Sebelius said, and I'm quoting, "We're in a situation where we have a widely effective vaccine, multiple choices, lots available, free of charge, and we have folks who are just saying, I won't do it. I think that it's time to say to those folks, it's fine if you don't choose to get vaccinated, but you may not come to work, you may not have access to a situation where you're going to put my grandchildren in jeopardy, where you might kill them, or you might put them in a situation where they're going to carry the virus to someone in a high-risk position." Okay, Ms. Tyrant, let's start with a couple of facts. We live in the United States of America. There's supposed to be liberty and justice for all. Now, what you're talking about is not liberty, and it certainly is not justice. Is the vaccine widely effective? It certainly does appear to be. However, there are no studies on its long-term effects because it hasn't been around long enough. It hasn't even passed the basic FDA safety requirements before being issued. It's issued under an emergency use authorization. There have already been, under last count, almost 11,000 deaths related to the vaccine. I don't know about you, but there are still a lot of questions. The fact that it's free of charge just means that it isn't free. It just means the government, that we're all paying for it because the government, the federal government, has illegally taken tax money to spend on something they're not authorized to. That's called extortion and fraud, I believe. And yes, we have people that just say no. But you know what you don't say, what you don't notice, Ms. Sebelius? Why are they saying no? Are they concerned about the safety, both short-term and long-term? Are they worried about effects on their children? See, she doesn't care. She doesn't believe you have a right to live free. She believes you have a right to live free only as long as you agree with her. She doesn't believe you have a right to the employment that you wish, that you have the opportunity to work. Oh, no, no, no. You only get the opportunity to work if you follow her orders. She talks about putting her grandchildren in jeopardy. Well, if she's worried about her grandchildren, first of all, I don't know how old her grandchildren are, but they're under the age of 16, their risk is all but zero. If they're under the age of 7, their risk is zero. And if she's worried about that, why doesn't she get them vaccinated? If this vaccine is so effective, why does she not vaccinate them? Kill them? She's insane. Right? She's been drinking the Kool-Aid, eating the propaganda. She has no clue what she's talking about. Now, again, I don't know how old her children are, but I doubt they're over 70. If her grandchildren are over 70, she's looking really good for a centenarian. So their risks are minimal. She has greater risk from her grandkids being driven to school, at least of dying. Right? This is propaganda. This is not science. These are not facts. This is bullying and intimidation. And I would love to see, you know, now Ms. Sebelius isn't part of the government anymore, so she's free to say whatever she wants. But I'm also free too. And I'm free to tell you that what she is saying is a load of horse manure. No. Horse manure is more useful. You can at least use it to fertilize a pasture. Her words are less than meaningless. But it's an attempt to intimidate you into doing something you don't want, but they want you to. Now, this isn't just happening in Washington. Have you been following this, the antics of this PTA official, Michelle Leet, I believe? If I'm not pronouncing it correctly, I'm sorry. Her response to folks that disagree with her on critical race theory, let them die. Let them die. Now, I don't know about you. I mean, Ms. Leet is free to speak anything she wants until she actually threatens people. And this, well, this isn't quite a threat. This is close, but not quite. So, the PTA, the Virginian PTA, issued a statement. They said, "We stand firmly by our first vice president and her work in the past, present, and future, and are extremely disappointed that her long track record of tireless work and dedication within the Fairfax County community has been so easily disregarded and devalued." You're disappointed? First of all, you're disappointed that this woman is a racist. You should be disappointed that she's a racist. She said, quote, Ms. Leet sent an email to CNN stating, "To my knowledge, CRT is not being taught in the FCPS or any other public school in the country." Well, then either she has her head buried in the sand or buried somewhere else. Oh, they don't use CRT everywhere. They don't use the term, but they're teaching that. And you have teachers and unions pushing that. So I'm not sure why Ms. Leet is so blind to this, other than, well, she's a racist and she wants CRT taught. So the last thing we're going to do is actually tell parents that we're teaching our children to be racist. But really, the biggest thing that the Fairfax County PTA could come up with is, "We stand firmly by her past, present, and future, her work." You stand by wanting people who are concerned about the education of their children, wanting them to die. You stand by that. Hey, parents of Fairfax County, Virginia, do you stand by that? Do you? Now, this woman has been asked to resign. Personally, I might have done something different, but I'm not in Fairfax County. I'm not a parent in Fairfax County. I have no say. I just have an opinion and a microphone. And I believe this woman should resign. Actually, I believe this woman should apologize. She should apologize to every parent in Fairfax County that is concerned about what is their children are being taught. Just let them die. She should have to make a public apology, just as public as those words. And I don't mean a tweet. I think she should actually have to have a public meeting in Fairfax County, invite all the parents, and personally apologize to them. But I'm not in the PTA, so I can't make that happen. But I asked the parents of the PTA, this is what you stand for. It's Parent Teacher Association. So you're involved. Do you stand by, firmly by, the work of this woman that ignores the fact that critical theory and critical race theory are being taught in schools, whether by name or not, that ignores the fact that racism is being taught to your children, and that thinks if you disagree with her, you should die? Do you stand firmly beside that? Because if you do, I feel sorry for your children. If you don't, why is the Virginia PTA standing firmly with them. Why? Could it be that the Virginia PTA wants CRT taught, wants it promoted, and is just upset that this woman had the temerity to say that people that disagree with them should die? Could it possibly be that the Fairfax County PTA agree with Ms. Leet, just smart enough not to open their mouth and say it? And surprise, surprise, the local NAACP, well, they defended her harsh comments. Gee, I'm supposed to be surprised that the NAACP would stand by a person regardless of what they say or what they do just because of the color of their skin? I don't know why anyone would be surprised. But you see, this is what America is coming to. Now I want to head back to our good old friends in the swamp of D.C. And by the way, when I refer to the swamp, it's kind of a double meaning, right? Because on the one hand, we refer to the swamp as the permanent nation, permanent government entities, all the bureaucrats that stay administration in, administration out. But it's also the fact that Washington, D.C. was built on a swamp. So it's a good term for it. So our U.S. Attorney General, Mr. Garland, says he's going to curb the seizure of journalists' email records, their phone records. Now, isn't that nice of Mr. Garland? That if you happen to work for one of the, media conglomerates, then he's going to bar federal prosecutors from seizing your records in most leak investigations. Tell me, why journalists? I mean, think of it this way. Why only journalists? I can think of two reasons, neither of which are very pleasant. Reason number one, Merrick Garland's a Democrat. He's in a Democratic administration that is promoting socialist, Marxist, tyrannical views. And journalists support that. The vast majority of quote-unquote journalists are little more than mouthpieces for Marxist socialist policies and the Democratic Party. So why would he want to investigate them? But here's the other issue. He says he's trying to balance the government's obligation to protect classified information and the media's First Amendment rights. The media doesn't have First Amendment rights, Mr. Garland. The people have First Amendment rights. And the people have the right to freedom of the press, not the media. Which means we have the right to act in the art or business of publishing without government interference. Now, unless you have probable cause that we are abusing that right, you shouldn't be seizing the records of any American. Period. End of story. You petty tyrant. I am so glad this man did not end up on the Supreme Court, because he believes it's just fine to seize people's records, but we're going to protect the journalists. Is that freedom and liberty in America? Is that what liberty and justice for all has come to in America? Liberty and justice if you side with the party that is currently in power. That's neither liberty nor justice. Mr. Attorney General, your oath of office demands that you stop all seizure of people's records, email records, phone records, until you have probable cause supported by oath or affirmation and are able to take that to a court and get a warrant specifically identifying what is to be searched. That's the law. That's the oath you took, Mr. Attorney General. Anything less than that is a crime. Title 18 of the United States Code, Section 242, Mr. Attorney General. It is a crime under color of law to deprive anyone of a right protected by the Constitution of the United States. Not just journalists, not just politicians, anyone. This is a crime. You should be prosecuting the people who are seizing records. Prosecuting them. Instead, you're simply saying, well, we're not going to do this anymore, but only for the journalists. Why? Because they're your friends? Because they support the administration that you're part of? That's disgusting, sir. That is disgusting. That is an abuse of power that is at the heart of the destruction of this country. The idea that government can do whatever they can get away with and the people have no rights except what the government says they'll protect. We fought a war for that against that, Mr. Attorney General. The fact that you can look yourself in the mirror, that you can sleep at night, tells me either that you have no clue what it is you're talking about, or that you have so sold your soul to Marxism, you don't care anymore. As Abraham Lincoln said, our safety, our liberty depends on preserving the Constitution of the United States as our fathers made it inviolate. The people of the United States are the rightful masters of both Congress and the courts, not to overthrow the Constitution, but to overthrow the men who pervert the Constitution. Well, Congress, well, House of Representatives, there you go. Here is a man perverting the Constitution of the United States. What are you doing about it? Why is this man not facing impeachment? Could it be that you're just too cowardly to do your job? Or could it be that the American people have been so educated by government into imbecility, into stupor, to not recognize the danger of what this man is talking about? He's talking about giving special treatment to only certain people. He's talking about only protecting the rights of individuals in a career that currently supports the administration. Is that your idea of liberty and justice for all? Is that securing the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity? No. That is securing tyranny and despotism for ourselves and our posterity. It's not simply that the Attorney General has done this. It's the fact that the American people are not kicking down the doors of their representatives, demanding that this man be impeached for the crime of depriving the American citizens of their rights under color of law, for the crime of denying equal protection under the law, for the crime of violating his oath to support the Constitution. He has lied to the American people. He has lied to Congress. He has committed perjury. Yet there he sits. And there sit the House of Representatives, too cowardly to do their job. The representatives of the people in the House were given the power to impeach for this very reason. So that when a member of the government goes beyond its charter, they can be reined in and, if necessary, removed. It's why they can't impose criminal punishment. The only thing they can do is remove them from office and bar them from ever serving again. It's about time. I know Jefferson said that impeachment was a paper tiger because the members of the House are cowards. They're politicians and they're cowards. Each and every one of them is more afraid of some donor base or some political class than they are of the constituents they represent, which makes it our fault. We haven't vetted our representatives based on their ability to support their oath of office, to fulfill the promise they made to their constituents. We judge them based on, well, did they vote for this program or that program? How much money did they bring home? How much pork can they lay on our plate? If we are responsible, if we are the masters of both Congress and the courts, then why are we doing nothing while they pervert your rights, your liberty, and those of your children and your grandchildren and all of future posterity. Why? This is the question I ask of the American people. Now, I believe many, in fact, I would say a vast majority of the American people simply do not know. They have been educated into imbecility by what we laughably call a public education system. It is no longer about it. It's not about educating the public. It's about indoctrinating the public. We take our children, our most precious resource, at the age of five, and we hand them over to the government and say, here, you teach them. We're not involved. We don't question. We don't oversee. It wasn't until COVID and the kids were at home that the parents started seeing what they were being taught, and some of them started going, what? You see, we weren't taught. When I took the challenge I gave to myself to read the Constitution, I was struck by two things. The first was how little of the Constitution I had actually been taught. The second was how much of what I had been taught was absolutely wrong. So I challenge every American to sit down in the next few days and read the Constitution of the United States, the supreme law of the land. It shouldn't take you more than about 30 minutes. It's in plain English. Yeah, some of the words are spelt funny. You might need a little help understanding some of the way the sentences are put together because they're a little weird. But the vast majority of it is plain, simple English that you can read. It doesn't need a dictionary. It doesn't need an interpretation. It certainly doesn't need a law degree to understand. If an 18th century farmer can understand it, why can't a 21st century American understand it? Now, if you want some help, I do have some tools that will help you. By the way, if you don't have a constitution, you can find one online. You can find it absolutely free. Go to founders.gov and you'll search for it and you'll find the constitution. But I have some tools. Now, if you go to my website, constitutionstudy.com, and you sign up for my newsletter, I will give you a digital copy of my book, How to Read the Constitution in 30 Days, because most people don't believe me that you can read it in 30 minutes. So if you have a hard time, if you just can't sit down and read it, fine, take this two and a half minutes a day. That's all it takes. And in 30 days, you've read the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. It's simple. It's easy. I've made it as easy for you as possible. And I'm giving the digital version away absolutely free. That's how important I think this is. Now, you can also find other articles and stuff on that website, videos, but the other place I want you to check out is constitutionscholars.com. See, there, not only can you buy a paperback copy of the book or buy copies of any of my books, you can find others that are interested. There is a group for each state, so you can join your state's group and see who else is interested about the Constitution of your state. See, the states are not subjects of the federal government. They are its master. They are its creator. We need to understand that. That's one of the things that is not taught in schools. And if you join, again, registering is absolutely free. Doesn't cost you anything. If you want to buy some of my books, that's great. That helps support the work that I'm doing. But here you have the tools to read the Constitution. That first most important step to get started, to read the Constitution. If you have questions, again, go to the Constitution Scholars. You can ask a question in any of the groups. I usually, I will answer anything I can. You can do it right there. You can also ask a question on the Constitution Study website. I do this because this information is so important. In my mind, this is the foundation that has crumbled under freedom and liberty in America. Now, I may be just one man ranting on the airwaves, but hopefully if I can get you to at least try, to at least look at the Constitution, begin to understand it, then I've made a difference that can potentially bring liberty and justice for all back to this country. Now, as I head out to break, I want to remind you to please check out Healthy Cell. You know, they haven't really upgraded vitamins since the 1930s, so Healthy Cell came up not only with a new way to take vitamins as a gel instead of a pill, but also to develop vitamins that are really designed to help you at the cellular level, to keep your body healthy, to boost your immune system, to sleep better, all to live a healthier lifestyle. Now, I've been trying several of these, and I want to take a look at the Focus and Recall. You know, I don't know about you, but at the end of the day, I get a brain fog. I get burnt out. I mean, I spend all day working on this stuff, and I get those last few hours, and I'm just toast. And, you know, rather than taking an energy shot or an energy drink or drinking a big cup of coffee, try the Focus and Recall. Again, it's a little gel shot. You can mix it in something, in a liquid if you want. But it helps bring focus back to your mind. It helps you actually remember what it is you're working on. Make you a little more efficient in that time. Why is that important? Well, if I can get more done in the time that I have, that means I have more time for family, for friends, and to study the Constitution. So go to healthycell.com/outloud. Get 20% off your first order by going to that link. Again, that's healthycell.com/outloud. For 20% off your first order, try the Focus and Recall or any of their products. I've enjoyed them, and I know you will enjoy them too.
Let's get real. Let's get loud. On America Out Loud Talk Radio, this is McCullough Report. Are you tired of your tired vitamins? Consider Healthy Cell. These are pill-free vitamins that are in convenient gel packs. I like the Focus and Recall supplement. I use this a lot. You know, your brain uses a lot of energy, and it depends on a variety of micronutrients and vitamins. Boost your short-term focus and long-term brain power with Healthy Cell's Focus and Recall vitamins. So go to healthycell.com, use the code OUTLOUD, all capital letters, OUTLOUD, for a 20% off your first order of any Healthy Cell product. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio. This is McCullough Report.
In 2008, the amount of concentrated time people could spend on a task without becoming distracted was 12 seconds. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds, 1 second less than a goldfish. If you find yourself always distracted or having trouble recalling information, you're likely to fall behind in the demanding, fast-paced 21st century. In other words, brain performance is more critical now than ever. Boost your brain power with Healthy Cell's Focus Plus Recall. Science-backed nootropics to sharpen focus, concentrate longer, enhance recall, improve mental speed, learn rapidly, and be more alert. It's a pill-free brain supplement made with maximum absorption technology designed to feed our brains at the cellular level. Take it for a test drive. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Focus Plus Recall. That's healthycell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
The America Out Loud family is comprised of patriots in the true sense of the word. We know that if America fails, the world will fail. It is incumbent upon us to carry the torch for liberty and the Constitution to help save America for future generations to come. AmericaOutLoud.com. It's a fight for the soul of humanity.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. We are reading and studying the Constitution and trying to apply it to our lives today. How do we defend it? How do we assert it? How do we open our eyes to what's going on around us? For example, here I have an article from the Daily Caller. And all I can say is we are going full commie. This is the Soviet Union. This is Mao's China. We now have re-education camps. Well, they're not exactly camps. You see, several of the people who participated in the event on January 6th at the Capitol, well, they've been taking it, I guess, I don't know if it's part of a plea agreement or something they're doing to help reduce potential sentences. They've been taking one attorney's re-education program. Now, it's interesting because this attorney, Heather Shenner, is one of several attorneys that have been assigned to represent the defendants who can't afford their own. And we've all heard the Miranda warning, right? You have a right to an attorney. If you cannot afford one, one will be provided to you at no cost. Well, this is one of them. And she has this re-education program. She says, quote, they're a captured audience and it's a life-changing for a lot of them. She said, reading books and then watching these shows is like a revelation. I think that education is a very powerful tool. So I gave them book lists and shows that they should watch. Now, education is extremely important, but I have to wonder how one-sided are these book lists, these viewing lists? I wonder. Now, one of Ms. Shanner's clients, her name is Anna Morgan Lloyd. She's a supporter of Trump, and she was charged entering the Capitol during January 6th. She was the first participant, and they use the term riot. I refuse to use the term riot because it's not what happened. But she's the first participant to face sentencing. She pled guilty to a misdemeanor count of parading in a Capitol building. So now, public property, the U.S. Capitol is public property. It is owned by the people of the United States. It is held by our government, but our government is owned by us. So parading in the Capitol is now a misdemeanor. Isn't that wonderful? Now, as part of her, I don't know, it was a plea agreement, but she has participated in this re-education program. And she's written several reports and talked about some of the things that she's been working on. And what I find is, I find it's just a little one-sided. For example, she wrote a report on Just Mercy by Brian Stevenson, which explores injustices in the U.S. court system. That's true. There are some, but not the ones I think are in Just Mercy. She did a report on the movie Schindler's List, directed by Steven Spielberg. Personally, this is one of those movies, I love it, even though it hurts every time I watch it, to see man's inhumanity to man. And she's written about other MOOCs, always talking about the history of quote-unquote oppressed people. You know, the history of the oppression of Native Americans. Of course, I don't know if they're covering the history of Native Americans before the white man showed up. Or the PBS documentary, Slavery by Another Name. Or the History Channel's Burning Tulsa. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with these programs. I haven't watched all these programs. I don't know how accurate. The only one I've actually watched completely is Schindler's List. And while it seems to focus, the report, I guess, seems to focus on the industrialists. To me, it's the humanity of seeing what was done to the Jews and wanting to do something about it. But she goes on in a court filing, Morgan Lloyd stated that she lived a sheltered life and truly haven't experienced life the way many have. We say that's true of all of us. None of us has lived life the way many have. People haven't lived my life. I haven't lived yours. And she goes on to say, even though we live in a wonderful country, things still need to improve. People of all colors should feel safe, as I do to walk down the street. Well, I'd make a couple of points. I agree. I mean, people should be safe. Should they feel safe? I'd much rather have them be safe. But is this because she's being fed information that, you know, thousands of black men are, that the police are hunting down black men in the street? This has been taught, and I don't know if it's part of what she was going through, but it's been taught in a lot of places. It's been reported repeatedly. It's also been malreported. People have failed to report. That's also factually not true. So I see this as a, if you do something you don't like, so in other words, if you riot in Seattle or Baltimore or even D.C., if you're in D.C. and you actually riot, you damage property, you burn down buildings, you destroy property, you get bailed out. But if you parade in the Capitol. If you go to your government representatives, your employees in government that are there to represent you, that you hire, and you parade to petition them for a redress of your grievances, we see that's a misdemeanor. You have to consider possibly, you know, jail time, or maybe just go to a re-education camp. Be re-educated in the fact that socialism is good, Marxism is good, government is good, and you do not challenge what your betters in government tell you. Does that sound like liberty and justice for all? And I don't know if you've heard about this. There's a program floating around called Pegasus. It comes from an Israeli company called the NSO Group. And apparently there's been a list of people who have been targeted by this. The Pegasus is malware that goes on your phone. And apparently journalists, lawyers, and human rights activists around the world have been targeted with this malware. Now, the company that created it says that's not why they made it, but they found some very interesting things. You see, apparently, several media organizations and Amnesty International Security Lab uncovered a massive data leak. And this leak includes data, information about the widespread and continuing abuse of this spyware. This is spyware. This is turning your phone into a spying device. You have Android phone, iPhone. They both are available. It actually extracts your messages, your email, your media. It can record your phone calls. It can evenly, secretly turn on your microphone or your camera. It is a spyware device. And oh, by the way, you don't have to actually click a link or do something like that. It can actually be installed through a security hole in the Messenger app on the iPhones. And I don't know what how they're doing it on the Android phone. It can be installed without your knowledge. And if you think, you know, one of those nice super secret communication apps like, you know, Telegram or WhatsApp or whatever, nope, gets those too. Because it can sit in before the encryption. Now, I don't know why anyone is surprised that this is happening. I mean, the specific details, while chilling, shouldn't be a surprise. I'm waiting to see, where's the evidence? Is the federal government or a state government or any U.S. government using this particular exploit? Not that it much matters. I mean, let's face it, we already know the NSA is spying on us. We know that everything we say and do online is being tracked. We know that even if the federal government isn't the one doing the data collection, they're getting the data from the tech companies and then searching it, in violation of the Fourth Amendment, by the way. Does this really surprise anyone? How do you have liberty and justice for all when you have no sense of the private? When everything you say and do is being tracked and recorded and studied, either to assist you or to potentially prosecute you. Well, Paul, you know, you post something on the social media, it's public. Yes, it is public. But you see, our Fourth Amendment doesn't say that your right to be private shall not be infringed. Oh, no, 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 no. See, the Fourth Amendment says you shall be secure from unreasonable searches and seizures. So if the federal government is collecting data for the purpose of searching it without a warrant, without probable cause, without an imminent circumstance, they're violating the Fourth Amendment. That means the NSA is now acting as a criminal organization, along with the FBI, the CIA, and who knows how many alphabet soup that are using this data. You've got Biden saying he wants to send people door to door to encourage you to get a vaccine. Where are they getting the data as to who they should target? The CDC wants to scan the sewers to see if COVID's around. Where are they getting the authority to do that? See, if you don't understand our rights, you go, well, you know, you posted it in public, but that's not what the Fourth Amendment says. That's why it's so important that we not only know what our rights are, we understand when they are being violated. If any government is searching your digital papers, your effects, your data, then they are committing a crime. If they're saying, well, we have a law that says so, that doesn't matter. The supreme law of the land is the Constitution of the United States, period, end of sentence. Now, yes, the laws of the United States are supreme only when they're made in pursuance to the Constitution. So the Constitution is still supreme. And when government ignores its charter, it is no longer acting under the consent of the governed. Therefore, its powers are no longer just. And that is why we have a despotic government in Washington, D.C., regardless of which party is currently sitting in the Oval Office or in the Speaker's chair or in the Senate Majority Leader's chair. We have a despotic government. I want to go back to a topic I actually covered yesterday with the Biden administration confessing nationally that they are both violating our right to be secure from unreasonable searches, a violation of the Fourth Amendment, but they are abridging our right to freedom of speech, not directly, but they are complicit with it. They are accessories to it. Now, if you don't know by now, the Biden press secretary, Jen Psaki, stated that, quote, we are in regular touch with social media platforms, and those engagements typically happen through members of our senior staff and also members of our COVID-19 team, given as Mr. Murthy conveyed, this is a big issue of misinformation specifically on the pandemic. So we have an admission that staff members are involved, are colluding with certain social media platforms to deal with what they refer to as misinformation. Well, you see, we have this little thing, Ms. Psaki, called freedom of speech. We have the right to say what we want. Now, as a private company, Facebook, Twitter, they can decide what is and is not allowed on their platform. However, Ms. Psaki, when you attempt to influence that, when your administration illegally searches our posts for information you don't like, flags it, and tells these companies, we want you to bring that down, that is a crime. That is depriving us of our rights to be secure from unreasonable searches and to not have our freedom of speech and press abridged. And you're doing both of them, and you just admitted it. Now, she sought to justify this, saying, quote, we've increased different disinformation research and tracking within the Surgeon General's office. We are flagging problematic posts for Facebook that spread disinformation. Disinformation according to who? When the government says they are trying to stop the spread of disinformation, that means they are censoring the American people. They are trying to prevent the dissemination of information they don't like. Why in heaven's name do you think we have a First Amendment? To prevent the federal government from doing exactly this. From looking at what is being written and printed and putting the kibosh on anything they don't like. This is totalitarianism. This is despotism. This is the destruction of the basic concepts of freedom and liberty. If you cannot write what you want, if you cannot communicate information that the government doesn't like. How do you have freedom? As Benjamin Franklin wrote when he writing A Silence Do Good, without freedom of thought, there can be no such thing as wisdom, and no such thing as public liberty without freedom of speech, which is the right of every man. See, if you without the right to freedom of speech, without the ability to communicate ideas, there's no such thing as liberty. It doesn't exist. Liberty is gone. If the government has the ability to question and suppress what you say, liberty does not exist. It is antithetical. Freedom of speech and censorship, liberty and censorship are matter and antimatter. When they touch, they explode. And if you're not allowed to think and express those ideas, how can there be wisdom? How can the people make a wise choice about a vaccine if only one side is heard? If all you ever hear is, yes, it's good, yes, it's good, yes, it's good. It's safe, it's safe, it's safe. And you never hear about the 11,000 deaths. You never hear about the heart problems. You never hear about the adverse effects. You never hear that it's not passed FDA trials. You never hear that there's been no long-term studies. We don't know what this is going to do to children, to pregnant women, to anyone. How can you make and how can you have informed consent when you're not given all the information? This is the destruction of liberty. This is the end of the American Republic. This is the end of self-government. This is the end of the sacred fire of liberty. And no, I am not being hyperbolic. Judge for yourself. If the government gets to decide what can and cannot be said in public, on public forums, on private communication tools, where is liberty? Sure, today they want to do it about the vaccine. What happens when they want to do it about the January 6th demonstration? About the 2020 election, and then the 2022 election, and the 2024 election? What happens when they want to control what you say about transgenders or homosexuals? Or what's being taught to your children in school? This is not a minor faux pas. This is admission of a desire to institute tyranny and despotism. And you know what? We hired them. As much as you want to point the finger at the Biden administration, people voted for him. As much as you may look and say, well, there was some fraud, I have yet to see enough fraud that would actually have overturned the election. It may still be out there, but you still have somewhere around half of the people who voted for a tyrant. This is not unique in history. Remember, Hitler was elected democratically. Tyranny in Germany started with a free election. And we're doing it again, folks. We are refusing to learn from history. And we're doing it all over again. Now, after focusing so much on the feds, let's take a look at a bit of what's going on in the states. For example, Illinois has passed a law, and I believe the governor, Pritzker, signed it, and this bill seeks to reduce false confessions by minors. Well, how does it do that, Paul? That sounds like a good thing. It bans police from employing deceptive practices while questioning juveniles. And it has been signed. It goes into effect January 1st. Oh, isn't that nice? So the police can lie to everybody else, but they can't lie to juveniles. Whatever happened to that equal protection of the law? If a law enforcement officer can lie to me, why can't I lie to them? And if it's a crime for me to lie to them, why is it not a crime for them to lie to me? Do you know why? Because they believe in an all-powerful state and that the ends justify the means. And if it takes the police lying to get a conviction, so be it. 14th Amendment, who cares about the 14th Amendment? We don't care about the Constitution anymore because we, the people, don't care about the Constitution. We are more than happy to sit back and watch it get trashed. The 14th Amendment says that no state shall deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. Well, if you're telling me that someone can lie to me, but it's a crime for me to lie to them, that is not equal protection. It's done at the federal level, and I'm not sure if it's at all states, but certainly done at some state levels. This is a violation of the Constitution under color of law. Now, I'm glad that Illinois has said you can't do it to juveniles anymore. How about the rest of us? You've got government agents lying to you in order to get a confession. Well, that's why they've stopped this, right? Because they want to reduce false confessions. In other words, they know they're getting false confessions from minors. Why? Because police officers and law enforcement officials are lying to them. Do we really think they're not doing it to adults as well? This is one of those things. I applaud Illinois for taking a step, but it exposes something I've talked about before. This inequity of power. The idea that the government has power over you, not the other way around. That you are subjects to government. And if government lies to you, well, that's just fine. But as their subject, you're not allowed to lie to them. Oh, no, that would be bad. Finally, let's head over to North Carolina. There's a group there called the Health Freedom Defense Fund, Inc. It's a nonprofit, actually based out of Idaho. And they're concerned that North Carolina's door-to-door vaccine will violate what's called the Zone of Privacy rule. Now, for those of you not familiar, it's this made-up idea by the Supreme Court that the Fourth Amendment protects a right to privacy, not a right to not be searched. Now, granted, there is some privacy, right? If you're not allowed to be searched without probable cause, well, there's some privacy behind that, but it's not simply a question of privacy. And their concern is that, well, you know, quoting from one of the members, we don't walk up to people and ask them, are you on antidepressants? Do you have erectile dysfunction? We don't ask people personal things like this for a reason, because it's unethical and because of this zone of privacy. I have, you know, as an individual, I have a right to ask. They don't have to answer. And you're right, it's considered uncouth, unethical, you know, it's an invasion of privacy. And in fact, the federal government tried to deal with this with medical issues. See this little thing called HIPAA. Now, most of HIPAA is unconstitutional, but they're generally put in place a law that says people can't ask you about medical conditions, about your medical records. There's privacy around that. Well, apparently in North Carolina, they are literally, according to this report, going door to door, knocking on people's doors to, quote, help the remaining people who aren't vaccinated. Now, does anyone else see a problem with this? Now, their neighbor to the south, South Carolina, is actually challenging the Biden plan. The governor, McMaster, said, enticing, coercing, intimidating, mandating, or pressuring anyone to take the vaccine is a bad policy, which will deteriorate the public's trust and confidence in the state's vaccination efforts. How about it's criminal? How about it's depriving people of their liberty without due process of law? How about it deprives people of their, attempting to deprive people of their property? What property? Control over their body. How about it's trespass? How about it's just plain criminal? I'm already making plans for if anybody shows up at my door asking about this. And yes, I'm going to follow appropriate law. I'm going to inform them if they ask me about my vaccination status, it's none of their business. If they want to talk to me, no, you're not welcome. You're trespassing. By the way, here is the state law. You are now trespassing. If you don't leave immediately, I am calling the sheriff. Yes, I'm setting up a meeting with my sheriff to discuss this with him, to make sure that his deputies are aware of the violation. You see, because I've read and studied the Constitution, I recognize when rights are being violated. And I'm offering that to you as well. Now, in a few weeks, I'm going to be hitting the road. I'm traveling to the Northern Plains and going to North Dakota and Wyoming, specifically to talk about knowing your rights and how to defend and assert them. Please head to constitutionstudy.com/tour to find out more. You can find out what I'll be talking about. You'll be find out where and when I'll be speaking. And if you'd like me to come to your venue, you can ask that I do so right there. I don't charge for this. Most of the places have been kind enough to get a hotel room for me, but I don't charge anyone to show up to this. I'll be selling books, I'll be meeting people, but it's important that we know what our rights are, that we begin defending them. Because if you're going to trust in the courts or the Congress or the president or any politician to protect your rights, you are on a fool's errand. We need to know our rights. As Thomas Jefferson said, if you wish to be ignorant and free, you wish what never was and never will be. So please join me. constitutionstudy.com/tour. I'd love to meet you. I'd love to discuss this with you. I would love to help you set up a program so that you can educate yourself. I'd also like you to head over to americaoutloud.com. Look under shows, find the Constitution Study. All of my programs end up on that page in the podcast, and you can share them with friends and family. You can also listen to me live on iHeartRadio Network or through our own media player in any browser, anywhere in the world. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you can get news, information that will help keep us free. You can also find us on Apple and Android and Alexa. You can listen on the app. You can listen to the podcast on the app. You can listen to other programs and become educated and become part of the solution to securing America's future.
Stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.